Hello, and welcome to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Walnut Grovecast needs your support, so please head over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast to find out what cool stuff you get for as little as 17 cents a day. Yes, only 17 cents a day gets you some amazing stuff. Thank you so much for your support. Walnut Grove is a place to be. If you're living in 1863, Walnut Grove was a place to be. If you're living in 1863, welcome to Walnut Grove Cast. My name is Mark, and I am on with Susan King. How are you, Susan?
I'm awesome. Howdy, howdy, everybody.
And I am groggily. I have a cold or flu or something or another, but I already put this off. I don't want to take up any more, you know, scheduling time with you, Susan. I appreciate you, you know, you being ready to do it, and
ready.
Yeah, so I even yelled at you for being sympathetic, which I sympathy doesn't work with me. It's just one of those things. It's kind of grating to me, and it's nothing. It's really nothing personal, but it's one of those things where people go, "Oh, I'll feel better," and it's like, "Screw you."
Okay.
You know what I mean? Maybe not, but either way, it's kind of like, I'll get better when I get better. I don't need, you know, because I feel about as sick as Reverend Alden in this episode.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I even have the fever and everything. It's keeping me warm, though. Don't worry. All right. So the episode that we're talking about tonight is from 1979. It's the episode a week before Halloween. It's The Preacher Takes a Wife, which yes. Your choice. This is one of these episodes that I think, although Sweden gives us a little bit of an insight into Reverend Alden, it also gives us a surprise insight into another character.
That's my favorite part.
No, but it's the only good part, really.
I know.
One of those kind of very, it's a weak episode, I feel. But I feel as though by adding in that element, it becomes a strong episode.
Yes, I would absolutely agree.
But, all right, it's, you know, it's kind of a sad, crushing type of thing when people, well, you know what? We could discuss all the sadness that's in this episode. It's a bit of a depressing episode. But it, you know, like most things with Little House, nice. It ends on on a message to be learned, I guess.
It ends nicely. We're in season 6, episode 6.
Yes.
And we need one more 6, and then we'd have to start talking about Satan. So.
Yeah. And it's true.
But then there is Harriet.
Well,
no. I'm kidding.
Well, Maury Dexter directed this, and there's 6 letters in his last name, so I'll take that as the other 6.
Oh, okay. I didn't catch that. Yes, you're right. All righty. We got a 666 episode. Yeah,
there you go. The number of the beast, I think it's called.
Oh, yes, it is.
Ooh, anyway. Revelations. Never really liked the sequel to things. you know, the whole,
you're a mess.
Well, the whole, what is it called? The New Testament, right?
Yes.
As I put down 99.5% of the people listening. No, I'm really not, putting it down.
It's just, I know you're not.
Interesting. It's good stuff, I guess.
It is good stuff.
Lots of stuff you can learn not to do.
Exactly.
All right, so I'm going to start with this first clip where Reverend Alden is talking with Anna, who I don't think we've ever seen before.
Of course not.
I'm not sure if we ever see it. Yeah, but she's referenced.
Yes, she is referenced in one other episode.
And that's good. I think it would have been interesting because later on, Reverend gets a house, right? She's not in that?
No, I don't think she's in that episode. Mm-hmm. They're always saying she's at her mother's. It's like her mother's still alive, really.
It's a cheap way to get rid of a character.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Jeez. Yeah, I don't think her mother is still alive, but yeah.
Right, it's like 99 years old. Eh. Mm-hmm. All right, but here's the first clip.
Thank you, Reverend Alden, for a beautiful service.
Thank you, Mrs. Craig.
Bye, Reverend Alden.
Bye-bye.
Wouldn't it be Widow Craig? Or is that just not the way you would refer to her?
But, you know, I guess she really would be whenever, you know, they've had episodes before when Laura was saying, why do they call them widows? And it's a sign of respect and all that. But, yeah, they don't call her that.
Yeah. It's like, what are you looking at? Reverend was like, you got an eyeball problem? You know, right. It's like, what are you staring at, you creepo?
Is there something I can do for you?
Well, I was wondering,
Shoo.
Yes.
Well, I was wondering if,
Ready, Mrs. Craig?
Oh, boy.
My ride. I have to go now, Reverend.
Mrs. Craig is confused. And that just gets chalked up as that, for the most part, right?
It's okay.
A senior moment. It's like, oh, no, but it's very sweet, you know,
She chickens out.
No, she seems very nice. Yeah, and she's put on the spot. You know what I mean? It's just, I like the way she's dressed. And we also get to see a lot of really nice furniture in this episode, which is always a nice treat.
So, she got a nice house.
Yeah, she is a really nice house. She has Boston type of furniture. She has she has duo painted wall. I mean, she has a color of the wall and there's trim, you know.
Right.
She has money, but
no plaster here, no half plaster here.
And even the lamp, I mean, it's not a Tiffany's lamp, but it's definitely a hand blown glass lamp. But you know, there's a lot of really interesting things in general in the house.
Well, the next scene is really interesting to me because the Ingalls are very un-Ingalls.
Yeah, yeah.
Very un-Ingalls.
Well, Etta invites the Ingalls in.
And yes, she does.
And what do they say?
Uh-huh.
Wait, hold on. I have the wrong clip here. It's very much like, well, you know what? Maybe this is a sign also that something we don't know about Anna, and that Anna is really annoying. She's really clingy, you know. It's like they invited her along for a ride once, and all of a sudden they're driving her every week.
Right.
Here we are.
Oh, thank you.
Here we are. Get off.
Will you all come in for coffee and milk? I just made my special chocolate cake.
Oh, we'd love to, Anna, but we've already promised the Garveys.
And I'm just kidding. Over the last time we had it, and I was vomiting my brains out all week. I just spoke to an author today named Rebecca Pittman, and she wrote books about places like the Stanley Hotel and Myrtle's Plantation. I don't know if you ever heard of that. And, of course, you've heard of Lizzie Borden. And she was talking about in Myrtle's Plantation, for instance, they had slaves. And the story is that one of the slaves wanted to get out, so she made a cake for the family with a flower called oleander. And the oleander's, you know, a poison. So, and she got caught. So that's basically, I'm thinking there's something darker here. And Caroline senses it.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. There we go. Guess I'll kill you next Sunday.
Step.
Thank you.
There you are.
Thank you. Couldn't you come in for just a little while? I've got some new slides for my stereopticon of the Grand Canyon.
Yawn.
We'd love to. Maybe some other time. We really have to get on to the cards.
Next Sunday, maybe?
Next Sunday, for sure. And
thank you.
For sure.
And don't forget, children, you're welcome to stop by for milk and cookies anytime.
Don't worry,
with
we Cy will,
and I.
Goodbye.
Have a nice day.
Goodbye.
It's pretty sad.
I'm sorry, that is just so...
It's pretty sad.
It's just... Oh, it's just so un-Ingles. It's like, why can't y'all come along with us to the Garveys? I'm sure they wouldn't mind another person or whatever. It's not like, you know, Jonathan and his bride would go, oh, why did you have to bring her?
The only thing that would have been missing with that is if Albert said to Pa, as she was saying, are you sure I can't ask you to come in? If Albert would have turned and go, can we go already, Pa?
Right. The last time we went over there for cookies, we were there for an hour and a half.
Come on.
She wouldn't let us leave. She locked, and tried Laura, to lock like, us rolling up her down eyes in the basement or something.
Yeah.
In the cellar. Yeah. She's got a root cellar. It's really creepy.
So we have another old fogey in the house. No.
Yes, we do.
Another lonely situation. And I'm not going to play this whole clip. But Reverend drops by Jeremy's house. He's an old fellow. I think he lost his wife years ago. And he's basically talking to Reverend Alden. And Reverend Alden is basically taking this to heart and comparing it to his own life.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and that's the only reason why I clipped it. I know it's very, very long, but it does establish.
And his house is kind of has overgrown garden and kind of, you know, I think it represents the, you know, what happens to the lonely man.
Good of you to drop by, Reverend. Can't get around much anymore.
Not after those Ingles cleaned me out.
Don't see no one excepting you from week to week. With the wife gone, the kids off and away, Lord knows where. All my old friends dead. I got no one. Sometimes seems maybe I'd be better off if I was dead myself.
Now you don't mean that, Jeremy.
Don't I? You don't know what it's like to be old and alone, Reverend, to have no one.
All right, I can't sit through 2 minutes. I'm gonna
but he does. He does.
Yeah, he like. You know, it's very sad, though. You know, it's somebody who's just very lonely. And at first, I think what we see is that Reverend Alden's probably going to try to set Anna up with Jeremy.
Oh.
I think that's the initial point of view.
I never thought of that.
You, really? I mean, it makes the most sense.
It does make the most sense, but I never thought about that. I guess because she's warm for the river, and it never occurred to me. But then it would have been a good plot twist.
I remember, for whatever reason, I didn't see this episode until just probably a few years ago. And I remember watching it like that, and pretty much you usually can decipher a lot of these storylines. So what I was thinking is what makes the most sense to me is clearly she has eyes for Reverend, and the Reverend's going to push Jeremy and her in between. And then she was going to have a moment where she gets really mad at Alden, Reverend Alden, and he's not going to know why. And they'll end up together at the end, but you would think there was this weird triangle.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's very creative of you. Not
and who
surprising.
Knows? Maybe Jeremy goes into the blind school and shoots everyone. Who knows?
Slaughterhouse on the Prairie.
Yeah. So, Anna being somebody who's been in Walnut Grove for decades feels the need to volunteer all of a sudden.
Yeah, well, I think she handles that in a very helpful way. Putting on my Dr. Phil hat, she's lonely and doesn't have anything going on, so she's going to go try to help other people and keep herself busy. So I say, yay,
so she
Anna.
Goes to the only blind people who, the only people who need help in the whole town, I guess, right? Jeez.
With so many children and so much to do, you could use a pair of extra hands.
We certainly could.
And eyes.
Stop.
An extra pair of eyes.
Oh.
I'm afraid Mr. Sue's doing so much, she's wearing herself out.
That's pretty self-deprecating.
Well.
Another set of eyes. Well, isn't it a little presumptuous to think she has sight? Mary being a witchy bee.
Oh, God.
I could help with the cooking.
I bet you could. The oleander. Gonna kill everyone. She knows what the deal is. No, I'm all right. I'm gonna backpedal all of my dark jokes.
It's on medication.
Sorry, what?
I said you're on medication. Well, excuse me.
No, I don't take anything. This is I have to be honest. This is the kind of episode where it takes a while for this kind of this particular episode to get going. But it's worth it, I guess.
Stop.
Here we go.
West of the Mississippi. Oh, there must be 100 other things I could do.
Well, there are, Mrs. Craig. Unfortunately, we really can't afford to pay you.
Oh, I don't want money. I'm volunteering. Actually, you'd be doing me a favor. Giving me something to do. Something.
And this is how PBS gets people to work for them. You know, like they reach out to the retired and older people to answer phones and all that kind of stuff. Ugh. Exactly. Same exact thing. Gives you something to do.
And worthwhile.
Well, what do you say, Mary? Extra help? For free?
That we can't afford. Mrs. Craig, you're hired. And
get
thank
what you,
you
pay
very
for.
Much.
Oh, thank you.
And I think that's all we see of Mary and Adam through this whole episode. They got their check. Ching, yeah. Ching.
We really don't know what what she'll end up doing, really. Except she's getting closer to the Ingalls, I guess, maybe. This will allow her to possibly send a cake home with, you know.
Yeah, like Carolyn did when she was trying to get, Grace was trying to get Isaiah to ask her to the dance, and she gave Doc Baker the flowers to give to Grace so that Isaiah could see him.
Right.
That was great. I loved it. It was like a woman's wiles. Love it.
So Carolyn and Charles are talking to Anna, and they're like, "Oh, that chocolate cake seems pretty good now. So let's right. see what they have to say."
I hope you're not working too hard at the blind school. Don't worry, Carolyn. I love it. Well, just as long as you don't overdo it.
I won't.
Would you like to spend the day with us?
And look at Gracie, like baby Grace. It's her hair is like white. It's amazing. It's like platinum
yes.
blonde.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't listened to it already, that interview with maybe her or her sister is up on the website.
I know, and I listened to it, and I loved it, and I was thinking when she was talking about how she was sensitive, I thought she must have been the one in the Annabelle episode that was losing her mind crying. I was dying for you to ask her about that, if that
I
was
could
her.
Ask her. I'm going to speak to her again, because when her book is released, she wants to come back on, and we're going to have a conversation about her book. But, yeah, Wendy Lou Lee, the other Lee of the Little House on the Prairie universe, is she's just really, really great. And it's what's even more interesting that I think anyway is that I'm older than her.
And oh wow.
Yeah, so it's kinda like only by a couple of years, but still it's kinda like that puts things into like such a strange perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a really enjoyable interview. I thoroughly enjoyed that. But the whole time I was going, oh, is he going to ask her about the Annabelle episode and how she just would not stop crying and she was just hysterical in Carolyn's arms? And yeah.
You know, I didn't listen to the whole interview. I have a question about the interview. I know we talked about McDonald's, right?
Yes.
Okay. Did we talk about a commercial that they were in and I was going to try hunting it down?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I can't find that thing. Like a telephone commercial. For
yeah, she said they had never been to McDonald's before.
Yeah, kind of wild. But,
yes.
All right, so here we go. We have the Ingalls thinking like, all right, we'll just eat over at Anna's house.
Come on, why don't you have supper with us?
Oh, no, they're going to invite
Anna. Oh, I'd love to, but
since you dissed me last time.
I'm going to stay in town and visit.
Some other time.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Have a nice day.
Thank you. Reverend.
Mrs. Craig.
Did you hear that? If you listen very closely, Charles is like, dodged a bullet.
Then she was being so polite. Yeah, since you thoroughly dissed me last time, just yes. to heck with y'all.
So here we go. Anna's going to go right up to the Reverend. And
yes, she. Well, now she has lots of self-esteem. She's volunteering. She's feeling better about herself. She's feeling useful.
Yeah, one whole week has gone by.
Would you like to take supper with me at my house?
What?
Yes, I would.
I think would? That's sweet.
I'd love
that's
to.
Sweet.
Well, then, perhaps you'd like to ride out now and look at my stereopticon slides.
Whoa.
I've got some new ones of the Grand Canyon.
You know I've always wanted to see the Grand Canyon. Let me get my hat.
Aw, they're so cute.
Yeah, it's very sweet. It's very nice.
It is. It's precious.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm a 57-year-old single woman. It's precious to me that people that are old and wrinkled can find love at that
age. How old do you think they are here? I have a hard time determining age.
I don't know. I'm really bad at it, too. Mid-60s, maybe? Late 60s?
Well, how old is, I'm going to look him up, Dobbs.
Dobbs Greer.
Let's see, Dom. Well, I'm going to play the next clip while I find his age out.
Alrighty.
So, Anna talks to Reverend about how she feels about him. And this is something that he's clearly uncomfortable with. And
totally unexpected.
You know, maybe not uncomfortable with, just, but more along the lines of it's not very common for something like this to be happening in his life. And again, the house is very nice. I really like the way it's set up, and the fireplace is very tidy and very clean.
Yeah, she took that picture of her husband and shoved it in the drawer before he came.
Yeah, exactly.
Would you care for a cigar, Reverend? They're the same brand Parker used to smoke. Perla de Cuba. I bought them special for you.
Thank you. I'd love one.
Oh, Reverend, speaking of love, I was thinking about your sermon today.
I'm happy to hear that, Mrs. Craig. You know, sometimes I worry that my sermons go in one ear and out the other.
Oh, no, Reverend. I always take your sermons to heart.
Thank you.
Particularly today's. You mind if I ask you a question?
Of course not.
Who is my neighbor?
Even as the lawyer asked the Lord in Luke 10:29. No, your neighbor is really every one of your fellow men and women.
Well, I have a confession to make, if I may, Reverend.
Well, of course, that's what a minister's for.
Well, I love a particular neighbor very much.
By the way, this is also a very good example of bad audio on a Little House on the Prairie episode. I don't know if you notice it, but whenever they talk, there's a bit of a...
No, I didn't notice it.
Yeah, this is something I remember when I was a kid, and I was always fascinated by it, and I kind of would learn that it's essentially a... It's either an envelope filter, it's called, or a noise gate, and it just basically... If an audio drops below a certain threshold, it goes completely silent. So it's to basically take background noise out of something.
Right.
So if you listen very closely, you'll hear it. But it's probably one of the better examples that I've heard.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'd like to listen to this on the DVD that was restored. I wonder if they were able to fix that, or if they bothered to fix it, if they were more worried about, because the prints are gorgeous. I mean, they took them from the original, and they're gorgeous, but I wonder if they fixed the sound issues.
I don't think they did, because the version I have that's streaming, not these particular ones, but the ones that I have through, like, Amazon that I bought, which are, like, supposed to be, you know, at least close to the Blu-ray, it's still there, if not louder.
Okay.
Here we go.
I see.
It's you.
That's very Christian of you, Mrs. Craig. I, of course, care about you. That pure, platonic, rational affection between two of God's creatures.
Oh, no, Reverend. It's not platonic, and it's not rational. It's a love that surpasseth all understanding.
Pump the brakes, lady.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
The way the Lord loves us, you might say. Spiritual and sublime.
Reverend Alden, I love you the way a woman loves a man.
It'd be funny if he went, is that a song lyric?
If you'll excuse me, Mrs. Craig, it's getting late.
I have to go to the bathroom.
I have to be going. I want to thank you.
Prostate issues.
So he storms out.
He's running for his life. He doesn't know what to do. Men are so cute.
And it's so funny. Everybody's like, oh, that's so funny. You know, that's cute. Everybody's in a good mood. So let's just go to the next scene where Jeremy's dying.
Right.
And snoring.
And the music bringing the room down.
Jeremy's like, I just want to carry a cigar.
Reverend, too late for praying?
Never too late for prayers.
Well, if I ain't got a place waiting for me up there, afraid there ain't nothing much we can do about it now.
You've got a place, Jeremy.
There's a barrel of laughs.
You've been a good friend to me, Reverend. A mighty good friend.
Is there anything I can do?
You've done it all already just by being here.
Jeremy passes away, sadly.
Yes, he does.
With regret and with sadness. And, he does pass away with Reverend Alden there. So he did not die alone. Like many people, unfortunately, have and do. So,
and that service they give him, it's like Charles and Doc Baker just turn around and they just turn around and hit it.
Yeah.
I mean, Reverend Alden says a short little prayer, and I know it was so that it's a really cool shot, though. The cinematography in that shot is really cool, where Reverend Alden is standing all alone by the cross, and then they bring that big black branch into the foreground. It's a really cool shot, cinematography-wise.
So Reverend Alden is now, it's now hitting home. He cannot set Anna up with Jeremy because Jeremy's not dead. So that's fallen through, and he now thinks that maybe he should apologize for, being a little girl. So, no, he's very inexperienced with this. This is some, a man
Poor
who's dedicated
darling.
His entire life to religion,
It's so sweet.
So Reverend Alden talks to Anna.
Alden, my goodness, what are you doing here?
And Anna's got quite a spread of food in front of her.
Right.
Like, you gonna finish that?
Corned beef and cabbage.
Welcome, of course, but it's only Friday.
I decided to come in a little earlier.
Oh, well, you're just in the nick of time to have our famous Olson corned beef and cabbage. As a matter of fact, you can have a special place right here at my own table.
No, thank you. I'm not hungry.
Oh, all right.
What?
Mrs. Craig?
Reverend Alden?
When he says that, it's like clear. I mean, there's no one else there, right?
I think there's a couple other people sitting at other tables. But
I didn't see anyone else, but he walks up to her and it's clear he's there. And then he says, what's her name? Widow Anna? And, she just like almost is startled.
I know. She's playing games.
Of all people.
Mm-hmm. Of all people.
Nonsense.
Well, I never.
Did you ever? You can dip my biscuits.
I wanted to apologize for taking such a rude departure last week. That was very rude of me.
Oh, no, not at all, Reverend. It was getting late.
Be honest, it wasn't the hour. It was what you said to me. Never before in my life has anyone told me what you did. Except my parents, of course.
His parents?
And I didn't know what to do. I ran away like a silly schoolboy.
Oh, no, Reverend. It was all my fault. I don't know what came over me. I acted like a brazen hussy.
Oh, no.
A hussy?
You could never be that. No, actually, I liked your straightforwardness.
Aww.
It's a quality I very much admire in a person. I've made arrangements for another minister to take over the rest of my circuit for a few weeks, I can stay in Walnut Grove.
Whoa.
That's nice. Mm-hmm.
I thought we could get to know each other a little better.
Aww. That...
I don't think so.
Yeah. I'm dating you, services Craig. Now.
Oh, that would be very agreeable, Robert.
You know, it's been so long since I heard my first name, I'd almost forgot it.
Oh, boy.
Aww.
Oh, yeah, there are two other people miserable at the other table.
Right. Well, 1979, he wants to get to know her better. That probably just meant he wanted to talk and spend time feeding ducks with her on dating sites nowadays. That doesn't mean the same thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
But yeah, they're holding man, hands, which kind of, it kind of makes for this whole thing where it's like, whoa. So,
and off Harriet goes on a tangent.
Yeah, I mean,
she got to go run into Carolyn.
Yeah, and you can see she's clearly upset about this. Now, here's the thing. He's a reverend, right? I mean, a reverend. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly what sect of Christianity they are. But it's not Catholicism. It's not
no. Maybe they never say
almost maybe Pentecostal, but I'm not 100% sure. They wouldn't wear a collar though.
Yeah, no, they never say in the episode Blind Journey when they're trying to get Joe to be a member of the church. Charles just calls it the Community Church of Walnut Grove, so yeah, they don't have Baptist or you know Pentecostal or Presbyterian. They don't have any kind of a particular sect attached to
because he's not a priest, and a priest of course you know would not be able to be married, so right. It's clear that he's allowed to be married, he's mm-hmm. just a reverend, so
right.
That's why I wanted to look into it a little bit further, but I can't seem to find any legitimate information that supports him not being able to get married. But I think it's more along the lines of they've known him for so long, they don't want it to change.
So, yeah.
So who does he
Harriet
go to?
Certainly doesn't.
So Reverend Alden goes to Charles for dating advice, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Girl, can I ask your advice about something?
That's a switch. I'm usually the one coming to you for advice.
Well, in this case, I think you have more expertise than I.
Can't imagine what that'd be.
Well,
I don't know. I mean, Charles is always jumping up on the pulpit preaching, right? It's not like,
right.
Is it really that much of a surprise to think like, you know, he doesn't think he's an expert at things?
Well, I don't know. Turns out that he's
not. Concerns the relationship between yeah. men and women. Precisely between a man and a woman. Well, to pinpoint it, it's actually about marriage.
Marriage? Reverend, nobody gets to be an expert on marriage, believe me. I'll give you any help I can, though.
I don't know whether you realize it or not, but most people don't consider a preacher to be a man. Most everybody, I'm a white-collared, black suit. Preacher's weeds, I call it. But I'm a man, Charles, with all the flesh and blood and spiritual needs of a man. And all the doubts and the uncertainty. Now, the only time I feel needed is an hour or two on Sunday, and it's in marriages and deaths. And Charles, I need to be needed on a regular basis. I just fall into the cracks between other people's joys and sorrows. Moving about from town to town, I am so tired of spending lonely nights in cold, empty rooms and listening only to my breathing. What would you think if I married Anna Craig?
It'd be flat out wonderful.
You do?
Well, you bet I do. Did you pop the question to her?
No, but I'm going to.
When?
As soon as we've dated for a full week.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
Well, you know, they had the scenes where they were feeding ducks and everything.
Come on in the house. I don't know anything about marriage, but I can help you with courage.
It's a reference to drinking.
Yeah, it's particularly interesting that he's giving him advice about marriage, considering that the next scene in The Mercantile has Cindy Clerico in it, the woman that Mike was having the affair with.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, interesting.
Here we go.
Here you are. I changed. Thank you. Oh, my. Good morning, Reverend Alden.
Good morning.
I'm so glad you stopped by. I was going to invite you to dine with us this evening.
Thank you, Harriet, but I already have an engagement.
An engagement?
Yes.
Oh.
I would like to look at some rings.
The rings?
Yes.
What kind of rings?
Oh, just plain ones.
Plain rings? How plain?
Gold.
Plain gold rings.
Is there an echo in here, Mrs. Olson?
Oh, I'm afraid we don't have any plain gold rings, Reverend.
Yes, we do, Harriet. You got another stock in last week, don't you remember?
Oh, yes. I'd forgotten.
Come on, Reverend, I'll show them to you.
Thanks. Why would they need a stock of rings?
I don't know.
And look how many rings he pulls out. I mean, I'm going to count them.
Right.
Also, this thing behind Harriet is really kind of new. This organizational system. I don't know if you've noticed it. I don't know exactly what it is. It looks like a bunch of little drawers. And I can't really see what it says. I would think
they would have little spools of thread in there or something. Is it over by the fabric?
No, it's behind the counter. Almost like I'm not really sure what it would be.
Oh, maybe spices.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think it says something ginger. So that might say coriander. So, yeah, it could be like different seeds and things like that for spices.
Right.
It has, an ornamental L. Maybe an L and an O.
Hmm.
Or, I don't know.
What could that be for? Hmm, yeah. I never noticed that.
As a matter of fact, we...
Oh, my God. There are, let me see, 3, that's 12, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70,
80, 90, 21 rings. A very nice selection.
Wow.
So, yeah, so 21
rings. Not like they've
rings.
Got a mail order bride service going through Walnut Grove.
No, I can only count, like, maybe how many weddings even happen in the course of 10 years.
Not a lot.
Like, maybe 8 tops?
Yeah, tops. Isaiah, Grace, Laura, Almanzo, Nellie, Percival, yeah. Rev.
Well, you know, some of those people would never wear a store-bought ring. So I can't see Nellie wearing a store-bought ring unless it was with the pig farmer.
Well, and Almanzo got Laura with a diamond in it, so that's one of my favorite Melissa and Dean moments. I'd love to ask him about that. That was one of the best arguments. So you didn't talk about making payments when you gave it to us. Oh, it's great. It's great. Anyway, so
Harriet is Harriet, so Harriet decides to get in on the action by going directly to the source of what she considers to be the problem.
I warn you, Craig. That unless you give up this obscene relationship with the Reverend Alden, well, you'll suffer the dire consequences.
Miss Alden hasn't done anything wrong. Oh. Robert. Yes, he's always been the very model of a Christian gentleman.
Aha! Can you prove that?
I don't understand. How can you prove something that never happened?
That is your story. Now, unless you stop seeing him, I will see to it that he is dismissed as the preacher of our church. Yes. And don't forget, I have the deciding vote.
Well, we'll go elsewhere.
There is nowhere else that you can go. Not if I inform his superiors of his immoral conduct with you.
I tell you, we've done nothing wrong.
Oh, Mrs. Craig, if you love him as you profess, then you will give him up. Otherwise, you will destroy him. You will ruin his entire life.
Wonderful foreshadowing there.
I wonder what happened to Harriet that she's so bitter. Jeez.
Well,
if only we knew more about Harriet's past.
That's right.
So Reverend Alden and Anna talk, and Anna decides to completely show the Reverend her true colors.
Yeah. Like an ice cube.
So she's crying by the tree that I think Charles fell out of and broke his arm or something.
Anna!
Anna, did I misunderstand? I thought I was going to pick you up at your house.
No, I had to get away to think.
There's something I want to ask you. The sooner I do it, the better.
Reverend, before you say anything, I can't see you anymore.
Fickle, fickle, fickle.
You're joking.
I was never more serious.
Yeah, I thought you cared.
I do. Well, that is, I like you as a friend. I realized today it would be unfair, unkind to raise false hopes on your part, especially since I always intend to remain true to my husband's memory. And then, too, we might be giving scandal to others with our close association.
What are you talking about? What scandal? Anna, I came
Reverend,
here to ask...
You better go now.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather be alone.
Wow. Ouch.
I can't mean that.
I do. Goodbye, Reverend.
Yeah, so basically he's getting the brush off. Are you touching your microphone?
I just had to stick it back in my ear.
Oh,
sorry.
It's okay. So Reverend Alden takes this to heart. And,
no, he's just devastated.
And he goes in one of the weirdest scenes I've ever seen in Little House on the Prairie. He's screaming. I mean, he's just kind of mad, and he's in the rain. And
oh, I love that
I
shot
know, you were saying
because
scene,
the crossbars.
Yeah. I just think it's weird. He was in the rain for, you know, one evening. Like, you know, it wasn't really just in the rain. You know, I don't really understand why he's sick, you know, but he does get sick. It's just kind of weird. He's, while he's preaching, you know, he's all disheveled. His hair is all messy. And he collapses. And Doc Baker and Charles, you know, Doc is like, he's burning up. They're always burning up
with fever.
Yeah. It's like, you know, they basically help him out and set him up at the hotel. And, you know, basically they're taking care of him. So I'll go right to that.
Mother, how is he?
Oh, well, he's not very well, I'm afraid.
Where do you think you're going?
To Reverend Alden.
Well, there are no visitors allowed.
Now, I would throw Anna out, personally. I mean, but she doesn't even know how mean she was to the Reverend, so.
Right.
You know, it's like Anna's trying anything to get food into people. And it's like, enough. And here she, you tell me, she's about to threaten Harriet with bodily harm.
Yes, she
certainly went not in his room.
What's his room number?
7.
Oh!
Go, Nellie.
If you don't move out of the way, I will hit you with this strike.
Land sakes, that's... Oof.
Hopefully she doesn't have any pine sol in that soup like in The Sixth Sense with the mom that was poisoning her daughter.
Is that what she was poisoning him with?
Yeah.
So, what do we have here? So Anna goes up to the room and expects all to be forgiven, but thankfully Reverend is like, get out of my room. You're not welcome here. So, no, that didn't happen. That was actually a deleted scene. So Doc is talking to the Reverend and basically telling me he needs to rest. So here we go.
Can I come in?
Of course, Mrs. Cray.
I brought some hot broth.
Just what the doctor ordered.
Did the doctor order that, really? Seriously?
Ordered a prescription. Hot broth.
And, like, who's asking her to bring in outside food? You're in a restaurant.
Right.
Have a little bit of respect.
She wanted to take care of her man.
Oh, please. She left that man.
With skid marks, man. She just, boom.
Mostly run down, taking care of everybody but herself. Needs watching.
I'll take care of that. And him.
I'd appreciate it. I should look in on the Gordon baby. 6 weeks premature.
Now, 6 weeks premature is not good even in the 21st century.
Right. I've always thought the same thing. It's like 6 weeks. Why don't we say 3 weeks? 6 weeks premature, but a fighter.
Month and a half. Jeez.
Right.
But a fighter.
Any instructions?
Well, that cough syrup is needed. And two of these pills every 2 hours.
These pills? What are those pills?
Now you'll be good.
I'll get a haircut, Doc.
Mrs. Craig, I'd like to see you, please.
And she closes the door.
Slam that door on Harriet. Love it.
Why did you come?
Someone has to look after you.
You do care. Don't you, Anna?
Just be quiet and open your mouth.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's it. He's dead.
Oh, they were playing the same music as Here Come the Brides. I just never realized that. Yeah. Yeah, that little snippet there, that was from Here Come the Brides.
So thankfully, Harriet isn't going to let this, you know, exist in the township. So she's going to put her foot down.
God may have mercy on him, but I won't.
No, what's wrong?
Oh, well, they spent the entire night together in his room. I caught them making love. Oh, well, now I have the proof that I need, and I will teach them a lesson that they will never forget.
What are you going to do?
I am going to send a telegram to the General Synod of the Church.
Now, I don't know what a General Synod is, but it sounds pretty serious.
Well, it is, but since when is a little peck kiss making love? It's like, geez, Harriet, you know, you must go to bed with a straitjacket and a, I don't know what on you. It's like, I caught them making love. It was a little peck kiss. She acts like they were both out there bare butt naked.
So,
it was a little pecky kiss.
Well, you know, I mean, that's, you know, it's 1870s. You
know? I know.
It's inappropriate. It's not proper. So, in this scene, they basically decide to, get married, which is sudden, but here we go.
No more than usual. As long as I've been giving sermons, they still don't come easy.
No, well, I must say, you'd never know it. Your sermons are always wonderful.
I think you're a little bit prejudiced, but I thank you all the same.
You haven't touched your food. Are you sure you feel all right?
All right. I feel wonderful.
So do I, Robert. I can't believe we're really going to be married.
By Charles, which in your notes you mention. Yeah, I don't get it.
Why is that legal? He's not a preacher.
I don't know if any of this is really legal. You know, it's I don't know. I don't even, in the 1880s, did you even need a marriage certificate?
There were those real pretty, you know, whenever you get, well, at least here in Texas, the last time I got married, you always have the option for just the plain paper or the real old-fashioned scrolling.
But you weren't married in the 1880s. Well, no. You know, I'm saying, I don't know if it was a law that you needed the permission of the state or the county. Or anything like that. But on the other hand, the reason why they would need a justice of the peace. That's why Nellie left with the pig farmer.
Right.
So, and that's why they left the area so that they can get married younger.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know.
You don't know neither.
You know, it could be the kind of thing where it's like it just... a promise in front of friends, you know, that's possible, I guess.
I should have researched that.
So
I got all hung up in the romance.
So here we go. We have a new character coming in, which I'm just going to play this scene.
God
Walsh.
Robert? Dean Harmon? Is that you?
Another.
Russell. I wasn't expecting you.
I know.
What brings you so far west?
A Mrs. Olson? Or more precisely, this telegraph, which she sent to the General Synod.
Can't believe that scandalous garbage.
No, of course not. But I had to come. To protect not only you, but the church as well.
Mrs. Craig is a very fine woman. I was ill, she nursed me, it's as simple as that. Have you spoken to Mrs. Olson?
No, no. I wanted to talk to you first. Make sure that you were the same Robert Alden I knew.
I haven't changed, Russell. Neither of my principles or my beliefs.
That's all I wanted to know.
But you also ought to know that I asked Mrs. Craig to marry me and she said yes.
May I offer my congratulations?
Thank you, Russell.
So this actor is Bill Shallard or William Shallard, and he unfortunately just passed away a couple years ago. He did live to be 93, but he's somebody that people are going to know from everything.
Yes.
Was he, I'm going way back in his career because I'm wondering if he was in, I was thinking Gidget, but it's the Patty Duke Show.
Yeah, he was the dad in the Patty Duke Show.
And that's where I knew him. I also knew him in the Archie TV movie from 1964 as the father, as Mr. Andrews. This guy is known in everything. Mission Impossible, he did a stint. He was even in an episode of Star Trek, Cal Burnett, Wild Wild West.
Oh, just everything. But what was so brilliant on Susan McCrae's part as the casting person is that he eerily looks like Nels. And
yeah,
that
a
is
bit,
what,
yeah.
I mean, they have the same facial shape, the same, you know, darker hair coloring. They're not twins by any stretch of the imagination. But I remember the first time I saw this, I heard the rest of the episode, I was like, oh my gosh,
yeah,
he even looks a little like Nels.
I wouldn't be surprised if he was in the running for the Nels character. He seems like a good fit. And we find out why
yes.
we're making this correlation in a minute or two, but he was also did a stint in the Waltons, which of course brings him that's it, he was in the new Gidget, that's why I'm thinking from in the mid to late 80s, which I have no idea how, but it lasted two seasons,
which, and Dean Butler was in that. Dean Butler played Moondoggy.
Really?
Yeah, Dean Butler played Moondoggy.
Yeah, that's that's
sure
interesting.
Yeah,
so we have, you know, we have the approval of this. I don't know what he is. He's some type of supervisor for all of the maybe regional reverends or something.
Yes.
So Dean Harmon's like, oh, okay, blah blah blah. So, he goes to the Mercantile to confront Harriet, and you know he wants to basically talk with Harriet and see the whole, you know, and just see if he can convince her to, I guess, drop the charges, so to speak.
I'm Dean Russell Harmon.
Nels Olson. What can I do for you, Reverend?
Well, I'd like to see Mrs. Olson.
Matter of fact, she's expecting you. Well, speak of the devil, here she is. Here, this
the
is
devil?
Reverend
what are we
Harmon.
Talking about?
Told you, 666.
Mr. Olson. I'll be with you in a moment, ladies.
Mr. Olson, I need a yard of garbage here. I need licorice, Mr. Olson. It's like, what? Don't, why in such a rush? You know what I mean? It's like, really, what are you off to? Like the
woodmill?
You have to go get, like, come on.
Don't let me keep you from your customers, Mr. Olson. Your wife and I have a little church business to discuss.
Oh, I see. Yes, well, thank you.
So they're looking at each other in a stunned kind of thing, and they're like, what is going on here?
Yeah, Catherine doing all that wonderful acting with her face. Yeah. Loving it.
Just outside. Perhaps we could take a little ride and discuss it alone.
So I'm going to just kind of get to it. They were engaged at some point, maybe in their 20s or something. They had a young, when they were young, they had a big relationship. He decided to continue with his religion. And she clearly was, you know, he chose God over her.
Yes.
And I wonder if he made the right choice. Of course, he didn't make the right choice. I don't know how people decide to, you know, kind of dedicate this. And there's regret in his eyes, which, you know, I think is very strange. But Harry and Dean Harmon talk about their personal relationship, so I'll play some of that.
That's wonderful.
If I'd known it was you, I would have sent someone in my stead.
Still afraid to face realities?
I thought I was facing reality then, Harriet. I told you at the time, I believe that I could not serve two masters, as it were, marriage and the ministry.
I remember. You said you decided that you were already wed to the church, that your duties would be all-consuming, and that it would be unfair to me to go ahead with the marriage. Did you think that it was fair to humiliate me so?
Of course not. It was grossly unfair. It was cruel. But I didn't mean it to be that. The day of our marriage approached, I had terrible doubts and fears. It wasn't a question of my not loving you, Harriet, but the question in my mind was, could I devote myself to you and to God? The question was, did I love you or God more? I thought that I was doing what was best for both of us. I hope it was for you, Harriet.
You hear this wind sound effect? It's like...
Yes, I know. It's just giving me chill bumps. I love it.
I've met your husband. He seems to be a very fine man.
I'm very proud of my family.
You should be.
Did you ever marry?
No.
No?
No. So, the question then is, how to deal with the matter of the Reverend Alden and the reality of his relationship with Mrs. Craig. Now, I've known Robert Alden for 26 years, Harriet. He taught me theology in the seminary. I've never known a finer minister or a better man. You must know that. He's been your minister and your friend for years. You must know in your heart that Robert Alden is not capable of conduct that is anything but the most honorable.
Oh, well, surely, Russell, you must know that even a just man can fall.
Yes, but not Robert Alden, not in the way you suggest. Don't punish him for my mistakes, Harriet.
This is where I think it's a little bit weird. So,
oh, I love this.
It's sweet and everything, but what he's saying is like, but not him, you know. And, you know, I'm sure that, you know, in the hypothetical scene here, you know, there's no issue here. But I don't know. I never believe the philosophy of no one can do something, you know, because I just don't believe that. I can't accept that. So, but in this instance, you know, for him to just kind of have that belief system is kind of strange. That's all I'm saying. You know, it's kind of, I just don't like that particular thing. It's like, just because I can't believe it doesn't mean it's not true.
That's well.
Why should he be forced, especially by you, to make the same mistakes I did? when he has a chance for happiness with the woman he loves. Don't deny him that. This time, it's your decision, Harriet.
So...
Oh, I just love that. So, I can just sit there and listen to that. It just gives me chill bumps. The realization in her eyes. And I love the way.
Yeah. It's a very sweet
I love
scene.
The way she fiddles with a tree when she asks him if he ever got married. It's just right. One of those little nuances in her acting that's just spot on.
Right. So we have the Reverend basically sitting in a church, kind of having a look of dread on his face, I guess.
Yeah.
And, we're just going to play that scene.
Reverend Alden. I'd like to ask you to forgive me. I know that I was wrong. I didn't understand myself. Why? But Dean Harmon helped me to see. Reverend Alden, please forgive me.
Don't do it, Reverend. Get a free Bible out of it.
You needed to get that on tape and replay it every time Harriet does something wrong.
Yeah.
It's the only time you ever hear her asking forgiveness for anything in that show.
It's a miracle.
Don't look so surprised. If a minister doesn't believe in miracles, who will?
I thought that was a cute little saying. So I looked up the ages. It's very interesting about the Anna's character and Reverend. We have Anna Craig and Robert Alden. So there's a 10-year age difference between those two.
Really?
Yeah, she is 10 years older.
Wow.
She was 72 and he was 62.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, you know, it's just
she's robbing the cradle.
I think some men just look a little bit older. You know, there are, I know a lot of guys who just kind of they'll always look 50, you know, even though like
right.
When you're 30. But
it's not the years, it's the miles.
It's like Merlin Olsen. Merlin Olsen could be 20 or 50. You know, it's
right.
You know, you really can't put your finger on it. So here we have a legitimate wedding in the next scene. You know, yes. I don't really understand.
Because Dean Harmon does the service instead of Charles. So it's
It's kind of like step aside, Charles. You know.
Right.
Up, you know, using your Malloway, you know, certificate to marry people.
Exactly.
And, you know, I have to say that Dean Harmon's suit is very strange looking to me. I'm sure it's period correct. But the lapels, for one, there's almost no collar.
I didn't notice.
There's almost no collar. And the lapels are very small. And there's only two buttons, right?
I did notice the collar, that his collar wasn't showing very much.
And the material is very shiny. And it's the same exact material as the slacks. So I thought it was very strange for the time. It's very futuristic even. Like, I would say this is like if you were to go into the future in the 1950s, this is what they would be wearing for suits.
Oh, maybe so. I was thinking maybe it was shiny because it was old and worn. You know, there are certain fabrics that when they get worn, they get shiny. So
now, this looks like silk or something.
Yeah.
But you know, for a jacket to have three buttons is very off. It's very strange. And also to even just have a jacket, he doesn't have like a proper, well, I guess maybe the black shirt underneath, he shouldn't be wearing a vest with it really, but. You know, it's just it's less proper than something that, say, Nels is wearing.
Right.
But and you also can't tell if it's a short sleeve or a long sleeve shirt because it's not tailored kind of correctly because the sleeves of the coat are really long. So this is kind of strange.
Now that you mention it,
it was probably just his, you know, and he just wore it.
So. Yeah, maybe so.
But here we go.
Harriet, what's the matter?
No, I don't know. No. Just send him a nugget.
Did you understand what she said? And why did it get so loud?
She said, just sentiment, I guess.
I played that crying. A few times. I couldn't understand a word she was saying.
Yeah, she's crying because she's thinking about, you know, her and Dean Harmon could have been the ones marrying. She could have been the one marrying the guy with the white collar. And here she says, it's just sentiment, I guess.
They're in the wagon and they're going away and they're throwing rice and
is it rice for fertility?
I don't know why it got so loud all of a sudden. So,
but they were wrong letting Laura catch the bouquet, because this is season 6, but the first one to get married is Nellie. So Nellie should have caught the bouquet.
I don't know if they, you know. Well, yeah, I guess they would have written that episode already, but.
Oh, yeah, I imagine so.
I don't think at this point they were just like, we got to get episodes out that are going to have ratings.
Well, yeah, maybe so. But I liked it that they had Harriet standing in between Nels and Dean Harmon. Again, you can see the similar facial features and whatever. And I love the way she kind of looks at him over her shoulder when she's crying. It's just, oh,
yeah.
Another wonderful performance by Catherine McGregor. And we do, as we mentioned in another podcast episode, my jaw just dropped the first time I saw that, because it was a shocker for me. And I'm sure for everybody, they were like, holy smokes. That's why she's such a witch.
Yeah, I think it's a sweet episode. I just think it's it doesn't go anywhere. Maybe if they had developed Anna, maybe if they had turned it into like maybe at least 3 episodes which focus on their relationship, I would feel differently about it. But being that it kind of starts and ends here, I don't really care too much.
Well, and I know what you mean. And I mainly like it, again, because even of the backstory.
Even the Harriet thing. I would have liked to continue learning about characters as we move forward. But, you know, then, you know, it takes more money, more time, and to, you know, work that stuff out.
Oh, absolutely. We always have to remind ourselves that, you know, this back in the day in the 70s, they were punching out 24 episodes a season, where now they only punch out 12. So it's like these people were working their heinies off, and especially since Michael Landon wanted everybody done by 6 o'clock. He was always at home, regardless of any poor choices he made in his personal life as the family man. He was home at 6 o'clock for dinner.
It's good.
And so was everybody else. So it was awesome.
Yeah. Everyone I've spoken to worked on the show. No one has a bad thing to say about Michael Landon.
No.
All been overwhelmingly positive. But
a consummate professional.
But Susan, thank you very much for getting together and dealing with this episode.
I love
this. I'm going to go and go to sleep and try to recover.
Okay.
Thank you very much, and I'll talk to you next time. I'm just going to play us out with the outro of the Little House on the Prairie show.
Yes.
And I'll just stay on the line afterward.
Okay.